One man can change the world with a bullet in the right place.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the New to Pew podcast. I am your co-host, the Bagman, and I'm here with the king of the two-liter Peter, Mr. Max Fallis.
That's right. Give it up for me, goddammit. Let the insults fly tonight. And in case you were wondering,
who the fuck is that guy?
That is the BBR Bagman. Give it up for him too, goddammit.
And we are proudly sponsored by Stuff and Things, Inc. Proud makers of Stuff and Things.
That's right. Excluding two-meter Peters, by the way. How come no one's made a two-meter Peter firearm, or have they?
Maybe they have.
Or it's too small to notice. We're back! Another wonderful episode here, and we're going to talk about stopping the bleed. Took a nice, wonderful drive into the freedom lands of Pennsylvania, and I got myself a nice course in what was classified as everyday carry medicine and stop the bleed by our friend, the one and only Doc. Give it up for him, goddammit. For he's a wonderful instructor, knows quite a thing or two, and I believe even knows a thing or three, because he was that well-informed and that knowledgeable of stopping the bleed. And I had fun. Oh, I had fun. It was a small class. It was myself and two other individuals, so it was hands-on, as they say. Yes, privatized learning when you've ascended to such a high level of prosperity as Mr. Fallis has. We have our private lessons on our private courses. That's right, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, so it's Doc from Damascus Medical, and he was teamed up with another company. Who's that?
I want to say it was the company that I'm looking up right now. I just got to move the window. It was at North End Gun Club.
North End Gun Club?
Yes, sir.
But I believe it's Stone Mountain Training
Group. Yes, Stone Mountain Defense, as I scroll down. Give it up for them, goddammit. They deserve all the applause and all the fanfare. Look them up on all the social medias if you can. Because they've got a wonderful atmosphere there, dude. It was very nice. Sad news, I had to leave halfway through the class. I didn't get to do the outside stuff. But we did some cool things. I don't want to give away too much.
Which portion were you present for?
The instructional part. And we did some...
Was it more medical-based or more shooting-based?
Medical-based in the beginning, and the beginning of the shooting portion, and then we took a break, and I had to roll out because I had some fatherhood stuff to take care of. But...
Being the super dad that you are.
Well, you know, it takes a village to raise a man, so I'm trying to do it.
Nice.
And trying to let the village raise me. But I will go through some of the cool stuff I was able to do. I got a little tactical reload going on, one-handed. What else did I do? I did a... So Doc ran a couple simulations, but before we do that, I got to stuff wads inside a gelatin cube. And as crazy as that sounds, it's three times as fun. Yeah. So
none of that makes sense. Maybe you could explain why you were stuffing wads into a cube.
Okay, so the concept was how to treat a wound sustained from a live round penetrating the human body, both either going through and through, as some people call it, and sometimes if it goes in and doesn't come out. So according to the training, you obviously, first we went over tourniquet usage. And that was a whole nother experience. Of course, Doc had some wonderful hands-on tools, some training tourniquets. He gave us the challenge of putting it on our leg and then trying to get up with said tourniquet on leg. And I believe a wise man said,
"I'm too old for this shit."
Because it was quite awkward to watch grown adults hindered by tourniquets on their arms and legs. So self-applying a tourniquet and then also applying it onto someone else who is in distress and is in need. When to apply a tourniquet versus when to wound pack. He did some some stuff about chess seals and the differences, and you know, the various places you can put a tourniquet and the various places you cannot put a tourniquet, because broadly speaking, there's multiple ways to treat multiple things, and our wonderful instructor Doc went through them all. So with that said, putting on a tourniquet is not as easy and cool as it looks in the movies, ladies and gentlemen. You literally do have to hurt yourself, because it takes a high amount of tension to,
right,
quote unquote, stop the bleed. And when you have to put it on yourself, your, I guess, pain response is a bit of a hurdle you have to get past when you're applying it to yourself. And by applying it, I mean turning that wonderful rod.
The windlass. Yeah, yes. When you're cranking down on that windlass, you really know what you're doing.
Yeah. And you have to push past your natural response of saying, okay, that's enough, because it's not. It really isn't.
Yeah.
That was interesting. And one of the most important things he said was the first pull, when you first get the strap on, the first pull is the most important, because that's setting your overall base for tension that's on your extremity, and that's what's starting to close in, or close off, I should say, your blood flow to the wounded area. The first thing he told us is that obviously you want to put the tourniquet on above the wounded area. You don't want to put it underneath, because it literally does nothing down there. Which, you know, I'm not sure. I may have to do some research to see if there's actually movies where you see people put tourniquets on, you know, as opposed to the old Rambo, sew it up yourself with a needle and thread, you know.
Probably. I mean, it's been in use long enough now that I think some of the action movies would probably include it. The one I can think of right off the top of my head was on the Punisher series on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it was the last episode of season one.
Mm-hmm.
He put a tourniquet on his leg, used a rat's tourniquet, which I'm not a fan of, and neither is Doc. And I'll let him explain that when he's on the show next. And he puts it on his leg and cranks it real tight, and then proceeds to run away. So based on your experience with the tourniquet, how accurate is that, Max?
It's like shooting a sprinkler head and letting the room fill with water. That is some bullshit right there. If the tourniquet is on your leg, i.e. above the knee, we're talking thigh meat, you first mm-hmm. of all, you ain't getting up. Come on! And the feeling that it's okay, I know my audience. It's literally sitting on the toilet long enough for your foot to fall asleep and then trying to get up and run out the house immediately. Like, you ain't moving fast.
No.
And that's if you're just sitting up. If you're laying on the ground, like you're taking cover, or you're trying to be behind something, and then you have to get up, you're not doing that on your own. That's damn near impossible. You're going to shrimp, which is what the Brazilian jiu-jitsu guys like use to get up out of moves and stuff. You're gonna find a wall and then try to slide yourself up, because your leg is immobilized completely and it feels extremely weird, and you're fighting against all of that while trying to get up. No. Mm-mm. That's why tactical vests have that drag handle, because you just become a fucking bag of potatoes, to be quite honest with you. Like, it's just, go ahead, I'll shoot, you pull me away, because I'm not standing up with a fucking tourniquet on my leg. No, not happening. Absolutely not. And any movie that shows you doing that is lying to you.
Nice.
No.
So after the tourniquet applications and all the wonderful things you learned with that, did you get to do some wound packing?
Yes. So he pulled out the Jell-O Tesseract. He pulled them out. And of course, the first thing you want to do is stick your finger in there and see how it feels. Yeah. So once all the childish impulses got out the way, we started to figure out, okay, so you have the medical gauze. I wish I could find my book, because I actually took notes. So, you know, a regular medical gauze versus, I forgot the term, but there's a certain medical fabric that has coagulating agents. I think I said it
okay.
right.
Okay. Probably gauze.
Sure.
Versus something with like Celox in it.
Okay, so I found my notebook. So first, the thing I wrote down first is apply a tourniquet 2 to 3 inches above your wound. As I said earlier, you don't want to be below the wound because that is ridiculous.
Duh.
Useless.
Yep. The number one cause of preventable death is bleeding. Go figure.
No shit.
Duh. But yeah, of course.
So wound packing with gauze and then using something like...
Hemostatic! That's what they're called.
There you go.
Hemostatic. It's a wonderful anime. So you have hemostatic and non-hemostatic type of gauze. So the hemostatic has... paraphrase. There we go. I'm going to paraphrase it.
Okay.
Essentially, there's a chemical on it that makes your blood coagulate fast. That way, that kind of slows the bleeding down, as opposed to just like stuffing a sock into a bullet hole that has no coagulating chemical compounds whatsoever, so you can just soak it all up. While it's useful, it could slow down your bleeding. Obviously, if you're having a hemostatic treated gauze, it would benefit you to have that in your medical
something care. Like Quick Clot or Celox. Yeah, there those are go. The two that you usually see. Quick Clot's the one I think Doc recommends the most at this point.
I believe you're correct, sir. Another thing is wrote here says, don't go too deep when you're packing the wound, because that could cause more damage than you really are trying to do, which is interesting. When you're trying to shove it into a gelatinous cube, you can see just how your finger is. And something to practice, think about this. The coordination, yes, exactly what you're doing. The coordination of stuffing and applying pressure and plugging, and then get the other finger ready, stuff, apply pressure, plug, and then the next finger back and forth while still holding the rolled up bandage in your hand and letting a little bit out as you go. So a lot of this stuff is programmable body mechanics. And if you've never done it before, it feels weird. So it's something you should definitely practice. So the way he showed us was you wrap it around your finger, and then you shove the finger in, and you have the gauze in your left or right hand, depending on which one you're dominant with, because there is a matter of tension and then release of the tension while you're unspooling it, so to speak, is the best way I can describe it, to somebody who's not watching me make these funky-ass hand gestures because they're listening to the show. So you're trying to give and then ready. And then while you're giving the next finger's worth of bandage, you're readying up again. Or if you're not coordinated enough to spool out either hand, you would use one to plug while the other one forces in. And then plug, ready, force in, plug, ready. Because the idea is to, as we said in the title, stop the bleed, but then you got to keep pushing down more things to continuously stop the bleed.
Right, because you're packing that wound, yeah. Yep. So you're trying to fill that void to get it to stop bleeding. Yeah.
Correct. And just when you think you're deep enough, you're not. Keep going until it literally hits the surface, and then whatever you have left, you want to slap on top with a whole bunch of pressure down. Then you can get your duct tape or whatever that can keep that pressure on it, you know, because you did all that work and your hands will get tired, and definitely your thumbs and your fingers will be feeling weird from going back and forth with a lot of pressure. But the idea, as we said, is to stop the bleed, and you got to apply that pressure on there, and hopefully medical professionals will be arriving shortly.
So here's a fun one for you. I'm going to jump in there. So you mentioned the gelatinous tesseract earlier. That's the Focus Research Wound Cube. Right. And it's specifically a training device that is for that very purpose that Doc's used in several trainings that I've been a part of. Everything from this type of course to training with the SWAT team that he works with, all kinds of stuff. It's pretty cool. But it's a neat piece of gear that he brings to all those classes. He also has, so if you go to Focus Research, P-H-O-K-U-S, research.com, and use coupon code EDCMED, you get a discount.
EDC Mid.
Yep. So there's an extra little coupon code for you in this episode. Please continue.
It's like a mid-credit cutscene in a Marvel movie. Mm-hmm. The lights aren't up yet, ladies and gentlemen. We're just getting started. So once we did that, and then we got into the tourniquet applications, both on the arm and then trying to do it with the leg, then we got into some live fire fun. Yeah. Simulating, all right, take a shot, and then act as if you took a round. Take, you know, put your firearm back into the holster. Pull out the tourniquet, and your left. So obviously your dominant hand first. Now the left hand is dead, so you can't do nothing with it. So you got to. I like saying this. You got to strap on with one hand and pull it tight. And then once you get it set, then you got to take another shot. Which was like, oh shit, this is getting fun, because you know I like a good test and a good challenge.
So you're doing shots and playing with strap-ons, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. It was.
It's all your favorite things.
Oh, it's quite the atmosphere, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. So we did that, and we did another round of reloading. A lot of one-handed work, which was fun to do. You know, you don't mm-hmm. have to do that too many times. But the funnest, most badassery moment in the phallus history is this. Take a shot. So you put one round into a magazine and one round into another magazine. That's all mm-hmm. you get. So you fire one. Now you're in slide lock. Put the gun in your holster. Apply the tourniquet. Eject the magazine. Load the next magazine and rack it off your belt. That's right. I said rack it off your belt because you can't use the slide release. You got to off your pant leg or your belt hip. And I'm looking around like, oh, this is some John Wick shit right here, son. It's time to get on. Like, and so I'm sitting there with my 1911. Now, everybody else has these cool giant optics on their handguns. And I look over. I got to get the other guy's name, one of the other instructors. And I go, okay, so what does a guy with small sights do? Because, you know, size matters, ladies and gentlemen. And he was like, you just rack it harder. And I said, you're damn right, son. Click, click, got it. Okay, cool. So we did that a couple of times. And that was fun and interesting. But here's the John Wick moment, okay? Fire one shot. Slide lock. Go down on one knee. Put the firearm between in the back of your knee. Mm-hmm. We did this, and then reload it. Then rack it again on your belt, and then take the next shot. I couldn't stop giggling. That shit was so much goddamn fun. So much goddamn fun. And again, I'm programming my brain for these things. And one of the instructors comes over after we were done. He's like, "I'm curious. Why were you having such a struggle?" So the three of us are lined up. I'm on the far right next to a wall. Mm-hmm. The natural instinct was to slide it in underneath my knee, but it was pointing at everybody else.
Right.
And my safety brain kicked in, and so my hand was cocked backwards so I could point toward the wall. And I said, mm-hmm. Well, I didn't want to flag everybody. And it goes, oh. Okay, because I'm literally like, get in there, because my hand is twisted backwards, because it's the barrel's pointing to the right, and everybody else is to my left. So even under duress, I'm thinking about everybody else with me, because I don't want to flag nobody, even though I'm in slide lock still. You never point a gun at a person or anything you don't want to destroy. See, I'm learning, Bagman. I'm listening.
It's so good. It's so good.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of you.
Oh, give it up for
Continue.
Me. Continue. Thank you very much. It's the applause.
The excitement. The non-traditional slide racking. Yeah, all those good skills. So you've moved on from the very basics of like hold the gun with two hands, you know, stand in isosceles on a square range in a port and just shoot at a paper target. Now you're learning the real, you know, when shit goes sideways, here's some stuff you're going to need in your toolkit because it's not the same.
Yeah.
In less than ideal conditions. So that's cool. And I'm very impressed that, you know, you're given an instruction by the instructor and you went, I can't do it that way because this violates other safety protocols that I've been taught. So tremendous on your part.
Thank you, sir. I've been taught well. Obi-Wan Kenobi himself. don't point it that way, Luke. Nice little blue Bagman pops up and goes for him next to me. Point it that
nice.
Way. Point it that way, sir. So we did that, and I got a little bit of left hand practice because that, you know, I mentioned it to Dave was one of the gentlemen's names.
Yes.
That I before I take my my carry permit qualification, I want to work more on my left hand. So he made sure that I got some left hand practice in, and even drawing from the holster with my left hand, even though I have a right hand holster. That was some one of the challenges that he put up to the class. You know, everyone else, the other two people had appendix carry holsters. Mine was outside, and it's, you know, way away from it. So
right.
That was a challenge that he put up again, you know, put up to the class. And luckily, Max Fallis has very long arms. So he's able to reach damn near in his pocket on the other side of his pants where my, you know, firearm was sitting. So that was a challenge. It was fun. What was the other one? Oh, yeah. So obviously the handle, the grip of your gun is facing the other way. So pulling it out, he showed us how to flip it over on the top of your thigh. More badassery, you know. It's like John Wick class, number one. So that was fun to do. And being that I've got long arms and giant hands, it wasn't really difficult. The hardest part, and this is going to sound funny, was just maintaining balance. Mm-hmm. And the instructor was like, you know, if you should bring your knee up more. And I say, I'm trying not to fall into this wall, bro. Like, this, you don't want that. So my trick was just lean back, creating more surface space on my giant legs. And, you know, that way I wouldn't have to fall off balance. And it worked very well. So I was able to pull the draw from the holster, lay it on my lap, essentially, and flip it over. All live, by the way. There's a round in the chamber. Pull it up,
right.
Sight it, pull the trigger, and I may have. So I think we had like the Coke bottle targets. I had two shots outside the Coke bottle total for the entire day. I was very, very happy with myself.
Good job.
Yeah, I was very
The Coke
happy.
Bottle you're referring to is generally called an FBIQ.
Yeah.
Just for the folks listening at home who are like, what's he talking about, a Coke bottle? FBIQ target, if you're going to the range. And you'll see that rough silhouette is very much shaped like a Coke bottle.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think. Was any other cool stuff we did? So, yeah. So right about then is when we broke for lunch and I had to bail out. But then I get home and I see more pictures on the Damascus Instagram group of these guys laying down outside, taking out targets. And I'm just like, oh, fatherhood. Man. You know, shout out to the children of Fallis. But it was a great class. I'm looking forward to, there's a class this weekend coming up.
Yep, also, you're doing another one?
Yeah, also at South Mountain Defense. This one, I believe, is rifle level 2, and I believe Doc said there's going to be practicing some transitions going from the rifle to the sidearm, so I'm really gearing up for that, so to speak. Then I'm going to have another report on that.
Sure.
I'm going to be doing my homework, taking notes as I hang out with some cool people, learn some more magical tricks, bro. This is some fun stuff, man. Some real fun
stuff. I'm digging it. You got a new little something to go with the rifle before class this weekend?
Oh, you talking about this wonderful Halo sun that I don't put on to it, brother? Finally, thanks to the people over on eBay, I was able to acquire this little flip down, flip up sight. And as soon as I find the box, I can read the model number. But I bet you know what it is already, because it was your recommendation, sir.
It's the HM3.
Yeah, that's what I mean. The HM3. And it flips. Right.
Magnifier. Yeah, flip-to-side magnifier.
That is the coolest.
So you can get some magnification on that red dot sight you've got.
Yeah, my sight's getting old, and I don't mean my firearms. It's, I'm talking about my eyes. So distance is a whole nother old age thing to have to deal with. So I got it in the mail today. Very happy about that. Put it on in where I think is correct, so I can see straight through it, through the red dot, and even through the iron sights.
There you go.
But I don't,
you got everything co-witnessed. Can you still run your charging handle with that in both positions?
That's a... Yup. Because it's not in the way.
Perfect. Love it when a plan comes together.
So now I just have to find 25 yards that I can point my firearm down and actually test the distance sight.
Make sure everything's zeroed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully I'll be able to do it this weekend. If not, I'll at least have my new toy and be able to look at it in the sun. Maybe take a cool picture or something with it. But I really like the flip down concept. Like I honestly think, and I'll send this over to the boys over at Stuff and Things, I think that the flip down rail should be a thing. Like, that really seems like a product that I think people would pay for. I mean, is it exclusive just for a Hollow Sun, or is that something that...
No, there's a bunch of manufacturers that do that. EOTech's got one just off the top of my head. But yeah, I'm sure there's plenty of others out there that do a flip-to-side magnifier like that. And you were telling me about this idea the other day that just a split Picatinny rail that locks in both an open and closed position.
Yeah.
Now you can turn anything into a flip, side flip, move it out of the way.
Yeah, I think that would be, I think somebody would buy that. No, I would, you know, especially for like, so I put the offset front rail for the light. Mm-hmm. That way it's not straight on. It's not where my hand is. But even being able to flip your light sideways may be desirable for some people.
For some people, sure.
Yeah, I mean... Guys like gadgets and toys, so why not have a little click, 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 clack on your on your click, clack, you know? Shout out to the guy, I don't know this guy's name, but my 3D printed AR stand that fits right into your magwell. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
I think that's awesome. It literally
in blue.
Oh, well, it's on brand.
Hell yeah.
It's on brand. But yeah, it took like 24 hours to print. Started it one day, went to work, came back, looked at it again, and it kept going. But it's super solid. It's great for the range, and it takes up very little space. So I have it sitting there until I put it back into the safe. Yeah, so I'm ecstatic. I'm my toes are curling up in my boot right now because of
you had a bunch of fun, and you got more fun coming up, and you're developing a bunch of new skills and learning a bunch of new tricks. And different ways to go about doing the things you learn the simplest way of doing. And I think this is very exciting. And I think this is what New to Pew is all about. So it's awesome. Doc's a hell of a great instructor. Dave is a great instructor.
Yes.
Yeah.
I went, when I got back from the class, I went and ordered some more medical stuff and created better versions of the medical pouches that I take to work. And when I escort my daughter to her concerts, you know, there's high quality items in there that I could maybe, God forbid, if I need to, but I'll be able to help somebody in a situation that nobody wants to be in. But so that night, one of the reasons I left early because I was taking my daughter to a concert in Philadelphia. So I definitely rolled with my giant red medical bag on the side, and I go through security and they start opening up and they're like, damn, well, this guy's ready. I was like, you have to be, sir. My daughter's here. And the guy's like, word, and just closed it all up and handed it right back to me. Like,
nice. So
when you roll up and you get respect from the security guys for having a giant medical pouch because you're escorting your kid, they like, it's like, yeah, all right, cool. Glad to have you in the building. All because a little bit of training can go a long way, ladies and gentlemen. Layer your training. That's what they say at Damascus Medical, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. What we also say here at the New Pew Podcast is, you got a sponsor for this episode, sir?
Of course. About Ammo Squared. Because you're going to need ammo. I'll give you two. We'll do Ammo Squared for your ammo. AmmoSquared.com. you set up like a subscription service and it becomes your ammunition piggy bank. They do your ammunition shopping for you, and you can either store it at their facility or set it up to ship to you. Hundreds of calibers, different types, all kinds of stuff in there. You set your parameters, how much you want to put into it, how frequently you want to build, all those good things. They've got a great crate system. You can also use this as a form of currency. They allow you to buy, sell, and trade ammo through their site, which is also a really handy feature. And if you go to ammosquared.com/blackbag, you'll find that you get $20 off your first crate. That's free ammo. And your second discount is j5rescue.com. They've got a whole litany of medical, first aid, and self-rescue products that are top rated. Everything from tourniquets to chest seals to all the things Doc recommends. So check them out. We'll put a note in, or a link in the show notes for our affiliate link. You get an automatic discount applied with your order. And then the focus research code that we mentioned earlier in the show. Hope you wrote it down.
I actually did. And I'm going to flip through the pages as you can ASMR in here. I believe the code was EDCMED, and it's focus.medical. P-H-O-K-U-S.
Correct.
.medical. Yes.
Awesome. That was a particularly great episode. And I'm extremely proud of you.